Upper Stimla, Reel 2.
Right. Then they took us to a room. They gave us a room to share with other family. That was also a woman and her son. The husband already died from hunger. When I was passing through the streets in the ghetto, bodies were lying there like skeletons. It was just terrible. That was my biggest experience, people lying on the street, really dead, dying from hunger. It was very uncomfortable for me because being with a young man in the same room, it was not very easy. So I slept on the chairs and my mother was on the bed because I didn't want to undress myself. I had already enough experience with all. Anyway, I started working in this hospital. There were two barracks opposite each other in a place called Marysiniec in Lodz. Yes, Marysiniec.
Could you spell that for me?
M-A-R-S-I-N-E-C. I hope I spelled it because I have to write that before I spell it. Anyway. And I was working this far. There were two blocks, one opposite each other. On one side were children who had TB, and the other side were children who had boils. Now, I was working in the part where they had boils. They were orphans whose parents already died from hunger. Then I tried. Well, one day when I was free, I tried to get a place on our own. I was a special committee, because you do understand, a ghetto was that everything was Jewish there. But we had big fences all around, electric fences. We couldn't get out from the ghetto. I got a room for ourselves, for myself and my mother, which they gave me also from the committee two beds, bedding, and the little table and two chairs. And in the room was a little oven, a cooker. And in the corner I made it with a little curtain for some clothes to hang up, whatever we had. And I also found a job for my mother in the kitchen. Because in the ghetto, if you did not work, you did not get the soup. And I felt terrified for it. She should get the soup. Because it was really very bad with the food there. We used to get a loaf of bread for a whole week. And very little other food. Anyway, she was working. So I was already happy. She was working in the kitchen and she was fed there. Suddenly she got ill. She got ill with all this. She started to swell from hunger. Her legs were looking funny. She could hardly walk. She had terrible pain on her right side. They took her to hospital. When did she come back? She was all paralyzed on one side. And my problem started then. On one leg, some little worms were walking. The leg was so thin. It was just... One day, they closed in the street where we are living. I was still working in the hospital and I couldn't move about because I was wearing a hospital uniform, a nurse's uniform. So I could walk about in the ghetto, in the street. What do? I carried her and put her in a hole in the garden. And left her there. Praying to God when I come back, she should be there back. She was, thank God. I brought her in back. And of course, when I was to leave her, when I went to work, I had to leave the two chairs, one with a bedpan, which they gave me from the hospital, and one with something for her to eat. Because all day long I was not there. And working in the hospital, they were kind to me, and they used to give me a soup when I was going home for her. They knew the situation I was in like that. But that was my biggest experience, what I went through, how she suffered. Why? Why? Because she was Jewish. And I couldn't do nothing for her. Anyway, one day, two lorries came to the hospital. They put the children in the two lorries. And the guests are there. And the children were running away. They're hiding out themselves behind our overalls. And we didn't know what to do. We were afraid they shouldn't take us with. And it was really another experience I went through. Now, no work again. And the poor children.
Where were they taken?
They guessed them in the lodges. That time they didn't have no crematoriums yet. I think it was 1940s. I'm getting a bit muddled up because they didn't have no crematoriums that time yet. And they guessed them in the lorries. That's what afterwards I found out, that the Kutno people were guessed also in the lorries. Because the cousin who lives in Syracuse in America, the one who survives, he was a doctor. His parents were also in that Kutno. And that's what he found out in Germany. They put them in the lorries because they didn't have no crematoriums then.
That must have been a very traumatic thing for you, being in charge of the children.
No, there were other nurses as well, you know, but it was the most terrible thing.
But you were saying they were trying to hide around
behind the overalls, because we had the overalls long, not like we have now short. You know, very full and all this, and white little heads we had. Anyway, now I had to look for a job. I found myself a job where they were knitting, I mean, the Jewish girls were knitting tablecloths for the German woman. The German woman used to come to the factory and choose a pattern, and we had to do the work. That was really doesn't matter. But the problem was that many of girls were in the same situation as I was. And the wives, everybody had to figure that they are working. If they didn't work, they didn't get no soup, which my mother didn't get any more soup now. But the women who were husbands were working direct with the Germans, of course they had better lives. They didn't want to do the sniffing. So they used to give the work for us, and they gave us the soup. But when do you do the work? We out in the night, and sometimes we are doing the work during the working hours. And they caught one girl that she was not doing the work for the factory, but private, and they took her soup away. So we all striked. We all striked. The police came and they arrested us. Arrested us. They put us in jail. And in jail, that was all in the ghetto. In the jail was that from time to time a roll commando came, which is the SS men, and whoever was arrested, they took them away. Of course, we did not know at that time where they taking the people away. We didn't know what they doing. I always thought they taking them to work. I did not know that a concentration camp existed. How did it happen anymore? I did not know. Anyway, so I had to go over to the commissioner, the police, and I explained to him that I left my mother lying there, and I have to empty her pen, and have to give her some food. So he gave me a policeman. A policeman took me there, and he helped me to chop the wood. I made a little fire. I had some peels of potatoes, so I chopped it up, made little cutlets, and warmed up, like made it on the water on the frying pan and gave it to my mother with a drink, and he took me back to jail. And I said, don't worry, I will be all the overnight there, and tomorrow I come home. The next day they took us to a place which was like not a factory. It was not outside the ghetto, but it was, we had to approach fields there to get there. It was a road there as well to go. We had to pack components for heating up aeroplane's engine, because it was winter now, you see. It was like a chain work. And in the end of it, and the German was standing, and he was checking if everything is in, and God help us, if not, anyway. But I went over to this director who was over that, because that was work direct to the Germans. I went over to him, who was Jewish, and I explained to him the situation with my mother. During my lunch hour, could you give me an extra soup for my mother? And all the girls working there, they knew my situation. It's a matter of fact, I must tell you something. One of the women working with me, Bella Kraut, she is alive and she does live far from here, with whom I was together in the lodge, in Auschwitz, and the working camp. I tell you afterwards. She was anyway, so they were all feeling sorry for me. And I must tell you something, God was somehow with me, because when I had to go through the fields with this soup, which was winter, and you had the ground is so frozen, and you've got lumps there, I never felt with the soup. I fed my mother, and I went back. I could feel about 10 times. I was rushing, going back to work. I'm telling you, God was somewhere with me. I don't know. I just don't know. Anyway, just before I was going to work one day, again, they taking this, closing this street. What do I do? I have not the strength to carry my mother anymore. And now already, you know, you have bread, but also my daddy, my mother was lying there so ill. She never prayed to God. She should get herself better. She prayed to God. She should live to the day I should have enough bread to eat. It was hungry, already hungry. You get this piece of bread, you get it for a week, it's 4 days, it's gone. Anyway, once they gave us a little oil, and I kept that oil and I gave my mother every morning before I went to work a teaspoon of oil, thinking maybe that had been better. So I left her in the room there, and when the assessment came, she spoke a very good German, and she said to them, my daughter, I'm not well, my daughter went to call the ambulance to take me away. And they left her. Suddenly, this, where I was working, it was also closed. But then, this street, what I told you, they already took the Jewish people away from there. On a Sunday, they never were making raids. So I went to one of the rooms, houses there, rooms, took a bit of flour from this one, a bit of flour this one, and I started mixing with water, made a little fire in the oven to put a bread, to make like something to eat for us, to assessments put in the door. Assessments put in the door, and I thought it's no good. If I go over to my mother, they kill us both. I stood near the door, and I said, Mommy, God should be with us. And that's how I learned. I left my father like that. Anyway.
So you didn't see her again?
Not my father. Anyway, they took us to the wagons. Before we got to the wagons, they gave us bread. In the middle of the wagon, it was a barrel with water. We were there like sardines. In one corner, a young cat was sitting there with a baby and trying, warming up, I don't know what, I don't want to be a liar, it was water or milk, with a candle to give the baby something to drink. The stench in there, in this tray. I cannot tell you. It's impossible to visualize it. Here, they're complaining when they put cows or sheep in a wagon because it's too many of them at once. Nobody complains about us. We are like animals there. I don't know how long we are traveling, this I must tell you. But from Lodz to Auschwitz, it was not too far. It's not far. So I suppose we are going just a day and a night. Because we got to Auschwitz, it was still dark. When we got to Auschwitz, they told us to get off the trains and the luggage. I had like a rucksack with some stuff, which I always had it in the corner to ready it in case. Oh, it will come afterwards. We should leave it now. They're segregating men separate and women separate. The screams. Can you imagine when a husband is separated from a wife or a son separated from a mother? It was just terrible. And I was always leaving my mother. I was feeling sick. Excuse me, how terrible. I was in a terrible state. And two girls were with me in the wagon there. And they could see what situation I was in. As just before we were going through the gates, they were feeding me with sugar. And I went through the gates. Now, they take some on the left and some on the right. But I couldn't understand this situation at all. But I went on the right because I'm still here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. And we had to be in fives. And every time we were stopping, I had to sit down. I was in a terrible state. Anyway, when and they were counting us and counting us and I couldn't understand what they were counting us. And then when it got a little bit lighter, I realized they were barracks. Wooden barracks, all with wired, electric wires all around. And from one of the barracks, a girl came out. She had a dress, right up to very short, no hair, no shoes. And I thought, maybe it is a mental place there. And the girls were gone funny. I didn't realize in about 2 hours. I look exactly the same. Anyway, we are marching and marching. I cannot tell you, they were counting us and counting us and counting us. But then it was daylight. Thank God it was summer. That was summer. It was warm. They put us in a... they shaved us. They tattooed us. And they gave us dresses. And if you open a scene from the dresses, you could see full of dead lice. Anyway, then they took us to a very, very big room. 3 times as big as this in white. There were SS men and the men who were working in the Auschwitz. They were Jewish men. I mean, they had to do what they were told to do. You couldn't blame them, whatever they had to do. We should undress ourselves. No, none of us were undressed in front of a man. So we don't. So they start beating us. No, we undress ourselves. And then we have to go in a circle, walking in a circle, all naked. And from there, the assessments were still taking out women, which now I understand were to the guest chamber. You see what I mean? Because maybe they found a spot, they were thin, which it didn't show on the, when they were wearing dresses, there were skeletons more. And another thing. And I forgot to tell you, in the ghetto, I had about 15 little boys here, and two big ones, which I still got marks. When I went to Auschwitz, I didn't have one boy. Do you know, I tell you that God was with me. I cannot understand it. It was just a miracle. What was happening? It was fated for me to live. Because you can see what I went through. It just a miracle. I cannot myself believe. Do you know, I can't believe myself what I went through. Do you believe me? When I speak to the children, how can they believe me if I don't believe myself? Anyway,
that must have been humiliating for you. Being, you were saying you weren't used to being undressed.
Of course not, a child. Did I dress myself in front of my father? Only when I saw him that time, what the Germans done to him. I mean, I closed my eyes. Anyway. Actually, I made a little mistake because first they put us in this room where we had the cell, and then they took us to be washed and shaved and tattooed. That was it. Can you imagine when you get a shave here? Anyway, never mind. Maybe it was better because in this condition what we are living, maybe it was cleaner. Anyway, they put us in the barracks. Afterwards, and in these dresses, and why the dresses get shorter and shorter, I explained to you. We are not allowed to come out from the barracks at all. Only when they told us to take us to the toilet. A toilet was also one big barrack where it was a very big hole, and that's how we were doing. And of course, we didn't have no paper. So we are tearing the dresses to wipe ourselves. And that was also for about a few minutes what they said. And then we had to get up again and back to the barrack. Now, in the barracks, we were lying on the bunks, yes? On the bunks. About five next to each other, which was really good because we were close to each other and we were warm. For the moment, we didn't get any blankets or anything. One of the girls told me, you know, Barbara, your cousin Abram from Lubranets, his friend is coming to work in the two last barracks. Men were working there. Why don't you go to him? Maybe he can help you. So I sneaked out, taking it every chance, and I went to that barrack because that was the end of the camp. It was a Lager C. When it happened, it was Lager C. I was in a block 30.
Lager C, was it?
Lager C and block 30.
And that was in Auschwitz that itself?
That was Birkenau.
Birkenau.
Yes, right. Because Auschwitz mostly been Russians and whatever Poles, they finished them up there, and the Jews were put in Birkenau. And I was calling his name out, and his brother came out. And they were really together with my father because they were sent from Lubranets together. I didn't ask anything about my father, but the brother said to me, oh my God, don't tell me you are here. I said, yes, I am. I would like to speak to Henek, because I knew him. He was young and used to come to my uncle's house. So he says, he'll be here tomorrow. So I tell him, what block are you in? I told him, and the next day he came. He came, he introduced me to the blocker tester. Now I explained to him what is a blocker tester. There are about 1,000 women in one block. In the middle of the block, you have a chimney going, brick built chimney, so high and so wide. And when she wanted to keep an order or something to look at us, she used to walk on this chimney with a bat, of course, and if somebody was not in order, whip. Anyway, he introduced me to her because I also sang very nicely, that I can sing. And that saved me as well. I explained to you afterwards. The next day he came, he brought me a kaftan, a scarf, clogs, socks, and an apron. That already helped me a lot because I could walk from one block to another because I was like working in the camp, a stubendienst, a cleaner. So if I was walking from one block to another, nobody would stop me. And that saved me. I tell you why. Because if Mengele came to block 30, I didn't go back to that block 30. And you know who's Mengele? The doctor. The monster who was doing experiments on women and killing everybody there. So when I heard him, I didn't go to the block, I went to another block. And that's why I kept so long in Auschwitz. I was in Auschwitz, I think, about a year. Over winter I was there, which was terrible. Now, I forgot to tell you, in Auschwitz was that they used to wake us up 4 o'clock in the morning. 4 o'clock in the morning. And the Germans used to come about 10 o'clock in the morning. So we stood from 5 o'clock till 10, whatever weather, waiting for them to be counted again. It was snow, rain, whatever weather, we had to stand there. And of course, some of the girls were fainting. Actually, I already fainted once as well, and I ended up in the hospital was like for one block they used to make a hospital, which used to call ambulance. That was enough. When the blocker tester got to know that I can sing, whenever she made a party, she used to wake me up. And I used to sing, and they were dancing. Then they went to another room, and all the food is lying there. So I put as much as I could in my overall and gave to the other girls.